Good evening. I'm Dr. Elaine Schroeder. Welcome to Mind Over Matter, a monthly K2 radio show that explores issues of the heart as well as the mind. We'll be on the air for an hour this evening with one or two short musical breaks. Now, imagine that your cell phone is ringing, your boss wants to talk to you, and at the same moment, your partner wants to know what's for dinner. In addition, your elderly mother is in the hospital with pneumonia, and your grown daughter recently told you she is getting a divorce. Well, that may sound like an impossible number of stressful events occurring at once, but not really. Often in our lives, there are multiple stressors. A boss calling at dinner time might on its own be a minor interruption, a mild irritant. The same with your partner asking what's for dinner when you're preoccupied with your boss's phone call. But then add them all up in one evening and your stress index could go sky high. Oh, I forgot to mention, you also have a headache that's just starting to be noticeable. Well, let's follow this through with an interesting ending to the day. Let's imagine that you have a regular yoga or meditation practice. And after dinner, you check in on your mom, your partner does the dishes, and then you do your daily 30-minute yoga practice with 5 minutes of meditation before crawling into bed, and you sleep soundly. So let's take a look at why this peaceful ending to a stressful day may have occurred. Tonight, we're going to explore the impact of yoga and mindfulness meditation on the experience of stress triggered by events in our lives. So let me introduce my special guest this evening, Luann McVeigh. Luann has been a yoga instructor in Juneau since how long?
Since 2005.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And in the interest of full disclosure, I will say that I've attended many of Luann's yoga classes. So welcome, Luann. And
thanks.
You're a retired Juneau School District teacher. So how did you become involved in yoga?
Well, I also was an aerobics instructor in the days of leg warmers and Reeboks and leotards, and I taught lots of different kinds of aerobics and strength exercises, and I ended up moving toward yoga when it seemed to me like I didn't feel the oomph to teach any more of those group exercise classes, and I absolutely have loved every minute of my learning of yoga ever since. I started in 2000 with Kristen Mabry, who's local instructor, and she's a trainer. And also, I took a lot of yoga from Emily Kane, so those two are my mentors here in town. But it's been a really wonderful journey for me.
And I notice in your classes, you mentioned that you go to you do a lot of continuing ed. It seems like you're inspired by a lot of teachers that come from out of town as well.
Right, I do. I go to out of town workshops by people who come into town from out of town, and I also really enjoy using online resources. There's so many amazing yoga teachers who are doing classes and writing articles online now, so it's very helpful to me.
Good. Tell us, what is yoga? What's yoga?
Well, yoga has many aspects to it, and I tend to practice the asana aspect of yoga. I do the poses, the physical movements, and some meditation as well. And those are the aspects of yoga that help me with stress reduction.
Mm-hmm. And so yoga is a mind-body practice, and your kind of yoga is called Hatha?
It comes from the Hatha tradition, yes.
Hatha tradition, yes. Started in India.
That's
centuries
right.
ago. centuries and centuries ago.
Ancient art and practice.
And it involves, Hatha yoga itself involves controlled breathing, or breathing in synchronization with the poses.
Yes, and it's really helpful to focus on breathing as we're practicing our yoga, because as we're doing that conscious diaphragmatic breathing, it soothes our nervous system and it allows us to feel that nice sense of well-being. And it also helps us to heighten our awareness of our insides as well as the outside, so we can notice if something's painful or something doesn't quite feel right.
Well, how does it work physiologically? Is there actual proof that the physical indices of what we call stress are relieved by yoga practice?
Yes, there are studies, lots of studies that relate to such things as cardiovascular disease and how our brain activity that's affected by our yoga practice helps us to decrease inflammation.
Really?
By simply doing the practice of yoga and the breathing as part of that.
Okay. In preparation for tonight's show, I happened to go online with research, looking for research mm-hmm. articles, and there were so many graduate student dissertations, medical school research articles, and I thought, oh, this is really interesting. So many academics and medical people are choosing to take a look at rigorous studies on the impact of yoga. And I thought, I bet I know why, because there's a similar number of studies and many, many studies on the impact of mindfulness meditation
right.
on stress
yes.
and on health and on well-being. And I figured, because these folks know that it works and they are actually doing it. They're students of yoga, they're meditators, and they want to research something that they do and something that they would probably like to share with others, and to have some empirical basis for doing so rather than just anecdotal. And one thing that's really interesting about yoga, and I've lived in India in South Asia for 6 years, it is really integrated in the culture. And as you said, there are various aspects of yoga, and the only yoga I know, of course, is the physical aspect. But it's gone on for centuries. And it is practiced from the tip of Patagonia to probably the Arctic Circle. You, no matter where you go, I'm almost sure you could find a yoga class, whether you're
yoga's
in
everywhere. Yes.
Vladivostok or Belize, everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. And so it's ceased to have anything that is part of South Asia. It's just spread all over the world. And I guess the proof is in the pudding. I wouldn't keep doing it if it didn't help me.
Right.
And I may say also that I was recently in a local orthopedic office, and a woman was there with shoulder pain, and I spontaneously said, oh, you should try yoga. And I thought, oh, dear me, I'm going to be doing a radio show on this pretty soon. And the reason is because I've had shoulder pain. And as a person in their later years, I must say that I am sure yoga is keeping me more flexible. And that is another way to relieve stress, because obviously, the more aches and pains that somebody has, you can't help tensing up around them. You know, physical
right.
tensing,
yes.
tensing up.
Some people just become frozen with that kind of pain. When really, what helps so much is the opposite of freezing. It's moving and stretching our limbs.
Yeah. Well, one thing I noticed when I was doing a very quick review of various. research articles on yoga is that they may say, like, the impact of yoga on cancer healing, the impact of yoga on all these various ailments, not to mention psychological disturbances such as depression. So whatever I would say may be whatever ails you, it would be possible for you to do a quick Google search and see if there are some articles about the impact of yoga or also the impact of medication.
Absolutely.
Meditation on these
meditation.
Yes. Yeah. And what kind of experiences have you had with your own students coming to you with any feedback about the impact of a yoga practice on their whatever their issues are, whatever is stressing them, whether it's a physical ailment or a psychological one?
Well, probably I hear from people more about the physical ailments, such as you mentioned, shoulders. Many people who come to my class have really tight shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so when we've been practicing this last week on upper body, and it's been a lot of emphasis on shoulders and necks. And by the end of the class, it seems like several people who had shoulder issues, well, it's not that they're fixed, but that they feel much freer, like they have more range of motion and maybe a little less pain, I'd like to think, than before. There's definitely the feeling that when you're moving your muscles and then you stop and you take a break and feel how the movement has changed you, there is an impact.
Well,
and it's positive.
So part of yoga is not just the physical poses, but mm-hmm. the breathing.
Yeah.
So how do you think that, what does that do physiologically to have rhythmic breathing, focused breathing?
Well, there's definitely research that indicates that it calms down our nervous system and specifically activates the parasympathetic nervous system. That's the rest and digest aspect of our whole sympathetic and parasympathetic systems of dealing with the world. And so it calms us down.
Like that, fight or flight, that?
It's the opposite of that, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and an amazing thing that I was reading about was how the diaphragm, which is controlling our breathing, actually interdigitates with our hip flexors so that when we are relaxed, our hip flexors can relax and we have greater movement in our hips. But the opposite is also true. When we're tight and tense and our diaphragm tightens up, that causes the hip flexors also to have tension in them. And so we draw ourselves up into the fetal position or that ball of fear. So the two are really related. Our breathing and our muscular openness, but also our sense of calm versus fear or agitation.
Yeah. And I'm sure there are people who have come in just after a really hard experience or a busy day. And then the last thing that occurs in many yoga classes is what do you call the pose where you're?
It's Shavasana.
Shavasana
pose.
Is Shavasana. And one thing that's sort of indicative of how relaxing the classes are, even though you're physically concentrating, you're doing things, people may fall asleep. And I could, how often do you think you could, after really moving your body around a lot, and then you lie down just, I mean, for minutes, like mm-hmm. for 3 to 5 minutes at the most, and you are sound asleep in a room with 30 other people snoring away.
Every once in a while you do hear someone snoring.
Yeah, and it's so sweet. It's so sweet because all of a sudden, for somebody to drop off that quickly means that, you know, they're feeling really at peace.
Yes.
Really at peace.
Letting go.
And, you know, I think an important part of yoga practice that I forget a lot is to stop planning what I'm going to do, cook for dinner, mm-hmm. or running through my schedule for the day. And both in mindfulness meditation and in yoga practice, you want to bring your attention back to your point of focus.
Absolutely.
It could be in meditation, it's traditionally your breath. And in yoga practice, it's your posture. Not your posture in terms of having a straight back, but the position you're in, the asana that you're in. And just being aware of where your body is at that moment, aware of your body. And in a program I led in Juneau for many years that was developed decades ago at the University of Massachusetts Medical Center, and then I taught it as well at Bartlett and at...
And I took it from you.
Uh-huh. And at one of the fitness clubs in Juneau, it's called the body scan.
And wonderful.
Remember the body scan,
yes,
where you lie down and then you just go from your toes to the top of your head, mm-hmm, slowly under direction. You can, you know, now just feel how your toes feel and then your feet, and just focusing on a gentle mental gaze at just not changing anything, just how it feels in your body. And for some of us who are walking heads, that's me, meaning thinking. I remember years ago when I was attending graduate school at the University of Washington, I went to my first yoga class, and I went every once or twice a week with this wonderful yoga instructor. And a couple of months into it, I was standing at the tree pose, and she...
On one leg.
Oh, not the tree pose, the one where you're just standing.
Oh, yes. Mountain pose.
The mountain pose, excuse me. It was the mountain pose. And she walked over to me, touched my chin, the back of the head, and then straightened me out. And after the class, I said, was I leaning forward? She said, oh, Elaine, you always do. You're obviously future tripping. You're thinking about tomorrow. You're thinking about what you do afterwards. And your body is leaning forward. And then all the years
were.
Yeah. Oh, great. And then all the years I was a therapist in private practice, a psychotherapist, I would lean forward and catch myself, you know, physically leaning forward, which isn't so bad, but I've got to watch it. That's all I can say, because I'm always doing that. If I'm one place, I'm thinking about going to the next place. And so for me, both mindfulness meditation and yoga are a real good corrective to a tendency that doesn't enhance my life. Because as we remember, those of you in the audience tonight who remember Ram Dass, Be Here Now. And I'm going to ask Shelley, who's much younger than Luann and me. Shelley, do you remember? Shelley's here because she's our technician and produces the show. Have you ever heard of Be Here Now, Ram Dass? That's okay. It's an age test. It has nothing to do with knowledge. Okay. It was kind of the first awareness of
right.
Be Here Now. And both uh-huh. mindfulness meditation and yoga are about being here now, being totally in the
That's
moment.
Right, being in the moment.
And one of the reasons that I think both yoga and mindfulness meditation have had such stunning results in the positive impact they have on our stress, our ability to cope with difficult things in life, which is what life is partially about, is the teaching of being present in the moment.
That's right.
And being really present. And I'm always very fascinated by the functional MRI, which can take a look at what the brain is doing in real time. And it was a real breakthrough in cognitive research on the impact of meditation, particularly because they could bring over adepts, people who have meditated like Tibetan monks for decades and decades. And what they found out is that they have very different brains. Their brains, because neuroplasticity means that, you know, we say you are what you eat. Well, you are what you think. Your brain
That's
gets
for sure.
modeled and neurons, neurological synapses and pathways get affected by what you think, what you do with your brain. And these adepts, these long-term meditators had brains that were definitely way outliers in actually in the happiness realm, mm-hmm. in those mm-hmm. that part of the brain that registered happiness rather than fear, depression, or other negative emotions. Because you're really training your brain, and specifically their ability to pay attention. So years ago, we had some Tibetan monks stay with us in Juneau. And they had visited previously, maybe 15 years earlier. And I remember one of them saying, oh, you've redone your porch. Oh, that's a new picture there. They could remember everything. They had paid such attention. And then I saw them walking around the house just gazing curiously at all these things.
All the changes.
All the changes and all just everything around. Well, why don't we take, I think it's about time to take a short music break. And let's then come back and Luann McVeigh, the longtime Juneau yoga teacher who's here with me in the studio, and I will be back to talk some more about the impact of yoga and meditation on stress.